Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
Today, I really feel like the Lord said to share with you about hearing from the Lord. So that's what we're going to share on. But I'm also asking the Lord to speak to me now, too. Not just talk about things in the past, but those are inspirational, though. We need those. And that's why I feel like, anyway, he's wanted me to do that today. But well, that reminds me, I always like to take this stopwatch out. And start it, you know, because otherwise I have no idea, and neither, anyway, we may go forever. But anyway, so thanks, Bill. So yeah, today I want to talk about hearing from the Lord and walking by the Spirit, and one of my favorite verses is Galatians 5:16, and it says, if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I like that because I really want to walk with the Lord, right? And which means I really don't want to do things that are of the flesh, right? I live in the body, but I don't want to do worldly things, you know, lustful things, you know, that have to do with the works of the flesh. And I'm not so sure that's common in the body of Christ nowadays. There's a huge movement in the body of Christ of, you know, you can get saved and you can live like the world. And that's a big draw to a lot of people, evidently, because it's one of the largest churches in Missoula right now is that. I'm not interested in that. Matter of fact, when I went in there, it was a couple of times I've been to that church because of friends and so on, and I actually have to turn my discernment off when I go in, because it's like, holy moly, you know. So I mean, honestly, if I don't want to be judgmental, I have to actually turn it off. And then, you know, anyway, but that's not where I'm going today. But, so we want to walk by the Spirit, and I'm going to assume you guys do. So it's like I was taught, you know, growing up, to do good. Don't do bad, do good. And so I always tried to be good, you know, and sometimes I was good and sometimes I was bad, probably like everybody. But by concentrating on trying to be good, you know, I also stumbled. You know, I was also aware always of the fact that I wasn't quite reaching where I'd like to reach. You know, I wasn't quite attaining what I'd like to attain. And of course, I was doing it without Jesus, maybe because of Jesus, but we didn't involve him because we didn't realize he was still around. You know, so we thought we had the Bible, okay? And that we really couldn't even understand either, we thought. And it was probably true because you need the Holy Spirit to interpret it. At any rate, so when I learned about the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact, I remember when I was a little kid asking my mom, who's the Holy Ghost? Because we use King James, so the Holy Ghost. Who's the Holy Ghost? She says, well, we don't know much about him at our church. She was honest. We didn't. And, you know, it wasn't until later. But anyway, first time I heard the Lord speak. Now, this is the first time I know I heard. Now, once you hear it, it's like, once you hear his voice, then you can look back and say, oh, that was him, you know, about other times. But this particular time, I was in college. It was a Baptist college. I grew up most of the time with Baptists and our family. And so we were taught, you know, Jesus, you know, that God didn't do certain things. He didn't speak to you now. He doesn't do miracles now, you know, those kinds of things. Well, I remember, man, I was really reading the Bible, and I was really, you know, when I was in my dorm, and I spent so many hours reading the Bible, and I especially was reading the Red, you know, read the Red, and that does good things for you. But one of the things, you know, it hit me that, you know, the Jesus said this, it's probably still true, you know, and so reading Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, these signs will follow them that believe. It's like, it doesn't say these signs will follow until a certain date or whatever. These signs will follow those that believe. I'm like, well, I believe. Wow. And so I'm along with reading other things in the scriptures, it's like, I realize there's no end date that I could find. And I was talking to my friend. He was a mentor of mine. His name was John. And he had mentored me for, you know, the first year I was there. And this had to be the second year. So I was sitting, I remember he came into my dorm room and he was sitting on the end of my bed, and I was turned around from the desk and, man, John, this is really amazing. This is just so amazing. You know, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. And there's nothing saying that we can't do those things now. It's just faith, you know. And he's like, nah, Lloyd. Now, see, up to this point, he was the one saying, you know, because the way I grew up was if you had a question, you didn't ask the question, you came up with an argument. And then you would argue the other side, which isn't always the best way to get an answer. But that's what we did. That was the image that I followed. And anyway, but up till then, he was the one that would answer my questions when I would come and say things, you know, like, you know, well, you know, if God forgives, you know, if God has forgiveness for everybody, then everybody must be going to heaven because, you know, everybody gets forgiven. I didn't really believe that, but I was like, that was the way I asked the question. It was argumentative. He goes, well, he has salvation available for everybody, but you have to accept it. I'm like, oh, that's a really good answer, you know. So it seems simple now, but that was my question. And so, but that was how I asked questions in those days. And he was the one that generally brought the answers. Well, this particular time, you know, I said, now, you know, boy, we can do all these things if we just believe. And he says, now, Lloyd, calm down. Don't go too far with this faith stuff, you know. And he says, and here's what he says. He says, you know, there's those guys up there in the Appalachians, you know, that they pass snakes around. Because it says in that section, you know, you'll lift up serpents, right? And they won't harm you. Now, I have learned since then from Jesus, it wasn't talking about handling snakes. Because actually, every boy does that. So it's not a symbol of being saved. And some girls, you know, because every boy handles snakes, you know, if you just give them the opportunity. It's talking about something bigger, like Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness and healing coming to the people. So it's a bigger deal than just handling a little snake. But that was another time. The point was, at that point, John says to me, now calm down, you know, don't go too crazy with this faith stuff. Because those guys, you know, up there in those churches in the Appalachians, you know, they handle snakes in their church service and they get bit sometimes. And sometimes they die, you know, so you got to be careful with that. Be careful with what Jesus said. Be careful with believing what Jesus said. And probably you should be. But for a different reason than what John was saying. But the point is, as I thought to myself, well, yeah, that's true. And here's the funny thing about it. Here's the scripture. I'm reading the scripture and I'm saying, this must be true. He comes up with a story, not in the scripture, but just, you know, something from, you know, the world. And I immediately went, yeah, that's true. Well, how the heck did I know that was true? But in my mind, you know, that's what we do. People bring us evidence and we agree with it if it contradicts the scripture. That's got to be a fleshly thing. It's drilled into us. Believe what the world tells you, but doubt what the Bible tells you. At any rate, in my mind, I went, well, that's true. But then I said, but the Bible has to be true. See, and that was the significant point. When I said in my own mind, I said to myself, as it says in the Psalms, I said to myself, self, that's what David wrote. I said, yeah, but the Bible has to be true. And as soon as I said that to myself, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it's the first time I remember ever hearing the voice of the Lord. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And I went, whoa. And it was in King James English. So I knew it wasn't me, because I don't speak that way. He does sometimes, to bypass my mind. And so I said, well, John, but it also says don't tempt God. And you would have thought a lightning bolt hit him. Because, I mean, he literally got shocked like this and fell on the floor. And he got back up. He goes, whoa, I never thought of that. You know, it talks about, it also in Scripture says there, you know, David said, I surpassed my teachers. And that was the point at which I surpassed my, at that point, mentor. You know, I went past because of unbelief or belief. It's like when I was presented with evidence that appeared to be, you know, contradictory to Scripture, I decided to believe the Scripture, and I got the answer. And that's the first time I remember hearing from the Lord. But once it starts, that's a good place to start, you know, because we have to start it. And there was nobody really to help me start hearing the Lord, because we were taught that it didn't happen. And even then, I was hoping it would, because my mom, she would say, well, we don't believe that at our church, but guideposts. And she'd read some story about some little miracle that happened someplace. I'm like, well, it happens in guideposts. This doesn't happen in church, you know. But but I was hungry for the things of God and wanting to watch. And as I've shared with you that my goal was I wanted to be a disciple, like his disciples. And that included doing the things that they did. You know, that's what I wanted to do. It's still my goal, you know. And so here was this, you know, it was like, knocked him on the floor. And that was when the Lord took me away from there, and I moved on to other things, you know, to another camp, another college, where I really got to do, really step out in faith, you know, from a Baptist college to a real worldly college, and I got to test things, which was good. Well, that's why it's so important for us to share things about hearing the voice of the Lord, because it was rare in those days, like it was in the days of Samuel. The voice of the Lord was rare. Well, when I was growing up, it was very rare. It's not so rare now, thank goodness. But we still need help with it. And we still need guidance with it. And actually, I had one friend who told me in his family, they grew up as pagans. And then later in life, you know, he became a non-denominational charismatic Christian. His one brother became a Roman Catholic. His other brother became LDS. And I think the other one became something else. Well, he was talking to his one brother who was Roman Catholic. And he said, well, you know, you guys, you know, you believe the Pope, you know, and he speaks ex cathedra. This is God speaking on earth, you know, and it turns out to be wrong. You know, what do you deal with that? And he goes, yeah, he says, it's true. Every 100 years or so, you know, we got to deal with something the Pope said that wasn't right. He says, but you guys have 3 or 4 of those before breakfast. So there is something about profaning the word, you see, making it too common. Boy, it was rare then, so it wasn't common. It was rich when we received it. But we have to be clear, the true word of the Lord, not what we think is our thoughts might be His. And let's face it, sometimes He will bless things that He will not, you know, honor things that He won't bless, and He'll bless things that He won't visit, and He'll visit things He won't inhabit. So you got to understand, sometimes He wants you to succeed, so sometimes you come up with these crazy things, and He'll help you with them, you know, but He'd prefer you be doing something else. But then we sometimes christen those as God, you know, and that's my point, is that we can sometimes be make it too common. Well, anyway, the point is we want it. We want to hear from God, and we want to. And my job is to help people to hear from God. That's one of the things when I began to learn, I wanted to share it with others. And one of the things when I started doing, you know, cassette messages years ago that became CD messages, you know, I still do those. I'm probably the last guy left, but we put them online, though, you can download them. So we haven't missed the opportunity to pass on to you guys and all your machines. That's good stuff. But one of the goals in doing those things is to help people hear the voice of the Lord for themselves. Because what I found when I heard the Lord, I went, oh, that's what He sounds like. Then I could hear it again more clearly the next time. You see, and that's what, when people write me or something, say, oh, I listened to this, and when you gave that story, I realized the Lord had been speaking to me. Thank you. Because see, now they know it was the Lord. And once you have it, you have it. You see, that's the point in sharing some of these things. Let me start with this. We were in a minister's retreat up in the mountains of North Carolina, and it was an afternoon session, and there was open mic, and different people were sharing different things. What you find when you get around mature prophetic people and you have an open mic, it's not like people fighting to get the mic. A lot of times you get in a place and you've got some prophetic people and you have an open mic, and they're just... What Rick Joyner likes to say is, you know, generally, what ends up happening is the least mature person dominates the microphone. You know, but this is not the case when you have actual mature prophets and prophetic folks. It's like, it sits there, and people are like, well, I don't know if I should say anything or not. You know, and so at one point, the man by the name of John Hamrick got up. You know, John was a great minister of God, and he was a mentor to Rick Joyner as he was growing in the Lord. And so he gets up, and he takes the microphone. He starts to tell this story about things that they'd done in the past when they went and did youth things in all 50 of the states. Anyway, but no sooner does he get up there and start to tell the story, his nose starts bleeding. It's just like, boof, like a flood. And he's like, oh, wow. Gets his handkerchief out, and he's like, instead of going, he's sitting back down. He's like, I'll come back later. No, he's just, you know, he's working his way through it, and it's like, whoa, and it's like, blood everywhere. And it's like, and he's telling the story. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, Proverbs 30:33, you know, as the churning of milk brings forth butter and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood, so the pressing of strife brings forth wrath. And I'm thinking, you know, this is the Lord speaking to us, that there are people here that have issues that with, you know, where they, you know, within their home church or whatever, there's strife that we need to pray about. And I'm sitting there thinking that, and the Holy Spirit says, well, you need to get up and share that. And I'm like, no, it's a room full of prophetic people. Everybody's thinking this. He says, no, you need to get up there. So John gets done with it, and you know, and he sits back down. And again, like I said, it's just silence. And everybody's going, the mic's sitting there empty. And the Holy Spirit says, again, you need to get up there and share this. And I'm like, okay, I'll go make a fool out of myself. Because everybody's thinking this, right? So I get up there, and I go, I don't know, you're all probably all thinking this, but, you know, Proverbs 30:33 says, you know, that's a churning of milk brings forth water, and wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So really, I believe like the Lord has shown us that we need to pray about some strife back home for certain people. Nobody was thinking it. And what happened was everybody's going, oh my goodness, I need prayer. And it's like it's something was loosed in order for people to get ministered to. Well, what happened was then I sat back down. Bob got up and he grabbed the microphone. Now that was a true word from the Lord, and this is what we need to do with it. And then he took over, and it was like, oh, okay, I guess that was the Holy Spirit telling me to get up there. You see what I'm saying? Because one thing I learned from that, and I've had to, you know, issue since then too, is there are times when it seems like, oh, I shouldn't share that because probably everybody knows that, and then you find out no. Not everybody did know that. Not everybody did apply it. And so you only know if you get up and do it. If I could have missed that, and we could have missed all that opportunity of ministry for people. What was interesting was after we broke for lunch later, and everybody was, you know, in the cafeteria, and Bob was going from table to table. Did you hear that word? That was a true word from the Lord. He even stopped at my table and was telling us that, you know. And I was like, wow, that was encouraging, you see. So I wanted to share that in honor of Leslie's song there, but also fits right in with what I'm sharing, is that we have to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. You see, and a lot of times it comes right from the word that you've put on in your heart. Matter of fact, that's the best place to start, is purifying your heart, right? You have to have a pure heart, clean hands in order to see the Lord. Well, it helps with hearing the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? And so start with that. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, you know. And so therefore, start there and put on the mind of Christ by starting with the Word of God. And that's the best place to start. The Holy Spirit will many times use the Word of God, the written Word of God that you carry in your heart, as a springboard for speaking to you about doing this or doing that. And then you try it and you find out. And often that's what leads to miracles. But again, Galatians 5:16, if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to do this. Because we live in the world, but we don't want to be of the world. We want to we live here, but we want to be above it. So therefore, we have to be doing something else than walking by the flesh. You can't just, like I tried to do, just be good. I tried to be good and I'd be bad. You know, eventually you'd be bad. So if you walk by the Spirit, you won't do the things of the flesh. So if we're doing that, we won't be doing the other. That's the way to do it. And so, of course, I didn't have anybody to teach me that. We didn't, you know, we didn't know much about the Holy Ghost at our church. But he's still here. Yeah. Amen. And when it comes to the Scripture, you know, he wrote it. Holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He's still here, and he didn't forget what he wrote. He didn't forget what it meant. And he'll be there to help you with it, right? It's like I always jokingly say, but with a purpose, your Bible's in three colors for a reason. It's black, it's red, right? Everything Jesus says in red, and it's white. So everything God said is in black, everything Jesus said is in red, and everything the Holy Spirit said is in white. And you're not going to understand the black and the red unless you pay attention to the white. Meaning, the Holy Spirit will tell you what's between the lines. You know, so in other words, he will interpret, he will share with you what this is saying. And what's great about it, it's not just what does it mean in light of a, you know, a biblical exegesis, but what does it mean for me right now? What am I supposed to do? all right, I'm going by the Spirit today, even as I'm talking about by the Spirit. So when the Lord tells me, I'm going to share things with you. Maybe I've never shared with you before. Matter of fact, for many years it was hard for me to share experiences I had with the Lord because of how I had been taught. And it's not necessarily unbiblical, because Paul would speak of his sufferings, but Luke would speak of his miracles, of Paul's miracles, you see. So it's not unbiblical to let other people speak of your exploits and things you've done in the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit says, hey, testimony is important, I had to learn that. So I'm going to share a little testimony because it fits with this, about hearing the voice of the Lord. So I was in India, and we were ministering up in this Punjabi area, way up towards Pakistan, and we had our team with us, and we had a rented hall. Was the second floor, and it had its kind of a steep staircase that came up there, and it was just packed, and we're doing worship and so on. We're getting ready to minister, and they carried this old woman up that was so sick she couldn't walk, and they carried her up on a leader. Kind of reminded me of, you know, when Jesus would minister in the house and they took the roof off to get somebody in there. They just wanted to bring the sick people there so he could pray for them. So anyway, they brought her in on a leader, and they carried her up, and they set her down right in front of the stage, right there in front of me. And so we went ahead, and the Holy Spirit had told me to minister on the Holy Spirit. So I was intending, by the time I got with my message, you know, I was intending to lead people into receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was my intention. But as I shared about it, the Spirit just fell, and it was kind of like Pentecost on 500 people. It was just everybody started, blah, it was just amazing. It was pretty remarkable. So I like it when stuff like that happens, and I just sort of back away, let the Lord take it over. You know, everything must be done decently in order, including the fact that His order is different than our decency. So it sometimes looks different than what we think, you know, because I had a friend in Montana. He said, you know, years ago, Lloyd, there was two apostolic networks that came into Montana. He says, and one of them, you know, concentrated on quench not the Holy Spirit. He says, and the other one concentrated on let everything be done decently in order. He says, so they blew up and we dried up. So I knew which part he was, which group he was with. So we need both, right? It's two sides of the coin. Behold the goodness and severity, or the kindness and severity of God. It's the same coin. You can't spend it unless you have both sides of it. It's counterfeit if you only have half of it, right? So anyway, here we were, and so I went over, and they took me over here, and they had me praying for the elders and so on and so forth. And while I'm over there, another person came over and says, that woman died. And so the old lady they carried in, they came over and said she died. And she looked like she was on death row. I mean, right at the edge of death. But as soon as they said it, and they turned to me and they said, that lady we wanted to pray for, she's dead. And as soon as they said it, in my ear, I heard, again, King James. It doesn't always happen this way, but it happened. She's not dead, but sleepeth. Now, I knew that wasn't me, because I don't speak in King James. And at the time, I didn't even use King James anymore, you see. But I recognized it was the Lord giving me a little bit of grace there to help my faith. Because when he was speaking in King James, I knew right what he was referring to was when, you know, Peter went into the, you know, well, first Jesus said she's not dead but sleepeth. And so he took Peter in there, and then it says then Jesus put everybody out. And so the next thing I said was, I said, well, take me to her. But in my mind, I said, well, Lord, should I put everybody out? He said, no, just go pray. So in other words, it took me right to that story of Jesus raising the woman from the dead. And the next thing he did was put everybody out. Now, you'll notice when Peter did it later, he also put everybody out, because that's what he saw Jesus do. But it was different. When Peter raised Tabitha, that was a bunch of believers. When Jesus was with those people, it says they mocked him to scorn, and then he put them out. So there was a difference there. But there was nobody mocking me, and there was nobody mocking Peter. So that's why I just asked the Lord, because he took me to that in my mind, to the scripture. And that was the next thing I asked as they were taking me over. He said, no, just pray. So I went over, and I got down there, and there was no signs of any life, and she looked really bad. I mean, this old lady looked pretty bad when they carried her in. And you know how some people, there's a pale you can see. It's just like death, even when they're alive, but it was there. And I laid hands on her. I prayed. I don't remember everything what I prayed, but I do remember rebuking a spirit of death and some other things. And then, you know, I think I had my eyes closed. I don't remember. But I remember I was pretty bold, and I prayed, and I stood back. I might have even said, she's not dead but sleeps, whatever. You step out in faith. Nothing happened. So I stepped back and I said, well, I know that was the Holy Spirit. So I said to these elders that were standing there going, I said, pick her up. Lift her up. No way. I said, I can be authoritative at times. I said, do it. Not quite like that, but. And they did. And when they lifted her up, she breathed and she came to. And the interesting thing was, I do have a picture the following day with her. She wasn't old. She was in her 20s. And when the Spirit came back, whatever it was that made her old was gone. And so, I mean, there was other things that left, you know, with the death. But that was, again, came from hearing the Lord. Because just because you pray for someone that's dead, you need something more. I encourage you to go ahead and pray for them. You can't hurt them.
That's right.
You know, we always have people come to our church. I say, go practice on them. You can't hurt them. You know. That's true. It's true. Both of those things are true. Go practice and you can't hurt them. But anyway, we want to be learning how to walk with God. That's what disciples do, is learn and grow. And we have to be willing to make mistakes. We don't try to make mistakes, but if you're not willing to make mistakes, you're not going to learn, right? Anyway, so in those two cases, the Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me from outside of my mind. It wasn't audible, but it was still the Spirit speaking to the Spirit in King James, which again, I don't speak. When I did use King James to preach, I spent most of your time explaining what the King James meant by what it actually said, right? Verily, verily, you know, what's that mean? You know, I trow not. What does that mean? You know, so you spent half your time. So I was like, when I switched from the King James to the New King James, gosh, these are going to be short messages because you're not explaining what King James means, you know. But anyway, the Holy Spirit, in both those cases, it was an impact to me to recognize it was Him. You see what I'm saying? He may or may not do that with you. The point is that to hear that it's possible was a big help for me. You know, to hear Him and know it was possible was a big help for me. And as I share it with others, others would go, wow. And that's what I want to help you with today. Now, maybe you're already walked by the Lord, you know, and you're hearing more. I know I do, but I want to hear more. I want to grow in it. So for me, sharing with you, I hope it helps me and builds my faith to go to another place, you know, to a higher place. I've had the Lord speak to me audibly. And I'll share one with you. He said, one day I was out walking the dogs, you know, before the sun came up, it's wintertime, it's dark out, nobody's up, I'm out there. And there was this empty lot that was below our house. Well, it was a whole string of an empty hill there at the time. But when I stepped on the lot that was right below our house, when I was coming back from Bray, and I stepped on that property, he spoke to me audibly, and he said, Lloyd, you need a new house, a nicer house, a bigger house, so you can be more hospitable, and you need an office. Like, whoa. And it's like, wow, that was something. Anyway, when my wife woke up later, I said, hey, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, I need a new house, a nicer house, a bigger house, so I can be more hospitable, and I need an office. He goes, she says, where's the money coming from? I said, he didn't mention money. He didn't. Now, here's the thing. If he had spoke to me like that audibly when I was younger in the Spirit, let's say at the same day when he said to me, thou shalt not tempt. Let's say that day, at that time I was 18. I went to college when I was 17 and I was 18 at that time. So he's like, I'm young in the Spirit. I'm happy and bold and I'm still kind of like that. I mean, if the Lord speaks, I'm ready to jump. But I'm a little bit older now, and I've learned that sometimes in some revelations, you need to do more than just jump. And that was one. Like she said, where's the money coming from? He didn't mention money. So there's other information that's necessary. But had he spoken to me that clear when I was young, let's say that, like in my dorm room that day, if he said that to me, we just would have been homeless and on the street because I would have said, you know, and I'd have sold the house and we'd have been homeless. You see, now I'm a little bit older now. So when he speaks that clearly, there's a higher requirement. There's going to be a higher level of obedience necessary, a higher level of faith necessary, which I had learned over the years. So we didn't become homeless. Matter of fact, it took a year, a little bit over a year, before I prayed and learned some things. I went through some things till one day, by going through that process, I woke up. I knew what to do. I had the faith. But all those months I was praying, okay, I need to hear the word come. I need to know what the next step is. I know you've spoken. I believe what you've spoken. I believe it's going to come to pass. But, and you know, one other thing I had learned in those years was, for instance, my wife and two kids, you know, had he spoken to me when we were younger in the marriage, you know, I would have told them, here's what God said, and expect them to believe it. He didn't speak it to them. He spoke it to me. I had to have the faith. The only thing I could require from them is that they just believe that I heard. You know? And even if they didn't believe it, I still had to do it. But the point is, that's nice. If they believe that I heard from the Lord, then that's good. But see, here's the thing. I was the one that was going to be required to have the faith. When I was younger, if he had spoken to me like that, I wouldn't have been ready for that, to step out in faith and to take the time necessary. And that all came to pass. We end up getting all that, you know, without money, but with faith, because the word was there, and I just needed the next step. Well, I'm sharing that with you because, again, you know, the higher level, and I share this in some of my book about the different levels of revelation, the higher the level of revelation, the higher, many times, the sacrifice is going to take to bring it to pass, right? Burning bush, wow, that's great, but Moses said, hey, there's a great burning bush, this is wonderful. And God, he turns aside to see what it is, right? And God speaks to him. He's like, "Wow, that's really interesting." He says, "Okay, I want a sign to know this is you." Okay, he's talking to the voice and the burning bush that doesn't get burned. He says, "I want a sign." He says, "Okay, I'll give you a sign." He says, "You go down there. You stand before Pharaoh. I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to do what you say. You're going to have to do it a couple times. When you come back here, then you'll know it's me." So it's not kind of the sign we really like. But, you know, then he had a little discussion with him. He said, "Well, I'll give you Aaron." And then Aaron shows up. And that's kind of a sign that, okay, I got the burning bush. Now my brother that I haven't seen in 40 years shows up. So, but again, there was a high level of faith necessary for Moses to step out on that word, wasn't there? So sometimes, and matter of fact, when I was young and we didn't hear from the voice of the Lord, that was my only example, was I thought when God spoke, it was like, Charlton, I mean, Moses. That's what I was expecting, and doesn't happen like that, you know, at least not early on. And thank God it doesn't, because if it did, you'd do what I would have done if I heard it when I was younger. I would have made the wrong decision. I would have went out 100%, and without faith, and bumped right into some wall somewhere. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? So that example was a good one, because it was like, I was more mature at the time. Now, I still wasn't where I needed to be to bring it to pass. That took a year. But I was far enough along to know, don't act yet. You don't know the rest of what it's going to take. But you know this was the Lord, so you know it can happen. Now, you need to bring it to pass. And, you know, I'll just tell you a little bit of it. Some of it, I brought it up to my prayer group 2 days later, and they were really good about it. They prayed it, and they prayed it word for word. One thing they'd learned from me is, you know, take the word for word, you know. So they prayed exactly that. And then 2 days after that was a Saturday, and a prophet friend of mine from Georgia called me up, and he was just talking about things. And then he stops right in the middle of a sentence, which was his way of doing things, you know. And he goes, "Oh, Lord just spoke to me. He said, Lloyd, you need a new house, a nicer house, a bigger house, so you can be more hospitable. And you need an office. And you need a nice yard. And you need a well of your own." So there was two extras there. So, but it was so word for word. I'm like, again, that just confirmation. We don't get confirmation. Sometimes confirmation like Moses, it happens after you've already obeyed. But point is, it came. So there's no doubt it was the Lord. But then again, here I was mature enough not to just blast out of the house. And then how's that going to help my wife's faith or my kids' faith if I go out there, you know, acting on the word but without any faith? Because I'll give you another story, because this one just popped in my head because of that, what I just said. All right, I was on my way. The Lord had given me the vision of the flint net. It was with an angel. Angel came, showed me the vision of what I now call the flint net. And what I saw as the angel, it was kind of cool. The angel had held out his, I'm going to say it was him, I don't know. His arms were like this. But his robes hung down, okay? It was bright white, But it's like a marker board in that sense. In other words, so do angels have wings? Well, Hebrew for hem is wings, and so I actually saw the wings, but not with feathers. You see what I'm saying? And more than one time, but that it just hung down and was for a purpose, because then somebody, assuming the Holy Spirit, took like a marker and just started doing this, like going around the world. Now, I didn't see the globe, but I could see that's what it was showing me, and it was like me going all around the globe, and that became a net. And that's where I got the vision of the net, that eventually I drew it as our logo. But anyway, so that came. That's pretty powerful. It came at a time when we were like, no money, no place, you know, in between jobs, all kinds of things like that, new baby, that kind of thing. And so, all right, a little bit like Gideon maybe, you know. Actually, I was in the basement when that happened, so that did not like Gideon. Well, anyway, time had gone by, and things had changed, and I was feeling like it was time to step out, and we actually had a church, and we had this, what we called the fellow, I like the name fellow labor, so we called it the fellow labor's network. Network meaning outside of the church, doing things from the church. That's where we, so I was starting to do that, and that's what I was calling it. Well, I was on my way to Argentina for ministry down with Ed Savosa, was down there doing some things. So, and I was stopped in an airport in, it was in LA, and I just went off in a little corner, and I was just praying during my layover. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, Lloyd, when you get back home, I want you to begin to I want you to go through the process of closing down your church, which was called the Believer's Bible Fellowship. I want you to close down your church, and I want you to go down to this other church, another friend of mine in town that had a church. And he said, I want you to go down there. I have an assignment for you. I'm like, what? And here's what I said. Well, Lord, I know that's you, but the Bible says, you got to always remind Jesus of the Bible, you know. The Bible says anything that's not done in faith is sin. And I don't have the faith for that. I said, but, you know, I'm going to be gone for a few weeks here, so if you'll give me the faith, when I come back, I'll be happy to obey. I mean, I want to obey, but I tell you right now, I don't have the faith. Now, that's actually a mature prayer, because, like I said, the story of the house thing, if he had told me, spoken to me that clearly and that audibly when I was younger, I would have acted on it impetuously, quickly, you know, without faith, and I would have fallen on my face, and that wouldn't have been a good testimony for my family, because they don't like being homeless. Matter of fact, even though it took a year and so on, then when it did happen and we got it, my daughter, who is at the time a teenager, she got mad at me because it happened too fast. Well, I didn't know we were going to happen this fast. You know, I still have friends over there in that school. And so she got mad at me. But anyway, so here I am on this trip, and I said to the Lord, okay, I'll obey, but you got to give me the faith. So, you know, I'm down there and I'm ministering with other ministers, and I haven't mentioned this to anybody. People ask, you know, what? Tell me about your ministry, things like that, and I tell them. And it happened to be the third day. Okay, that's usually significant. At the time, I wasn't thinking that, but on the third day, we were going from Buenos Aires to another town, Mar del Plata, and so we're in the airport and bumping into people, just saying hi, meeting people, whatever. Well, I met this older gentleman. Just standing there kind of by himself, and I walked over and said hi, and we're just visiting and, you know, killing time. He's from Alaska. Oh, wow, Alaska. Hunting, fishing, so we talk about all those godly things. We had a great time. I'm from Montana. He happened to know my previous next-door neighbor, was the police chief. He'd been up in Alaska hunting. He goes, oh, do you know so-and-so? I said, yeah. He goes, hey, he's a liar. Oh, really? Yeah, he said his bear was this big and it wasn't that big. You know, kind of. But anyway, so we had fun. I'm like, you know, that's all we talked about was hunting and fishing and, you know, Alaska and Montana. Well, we got on planes and went. I was on a different plane than him, but, you know, we ended up in the same town, and we ended up on a shuttle going to our hotels, two different hotels, but we ended up on the same shuttle. So while we're on the shuttle, we sat next to each other and started talking some more. And then we started talking about what we do, and he was a pastor up in Alaska, up in Anchorage, and I told him what we were doing in Missoula and things that I'd done in India and so on, in Africa. And then I said, bah, and this is the first time I felt inspired to repeat what the Lord had said to me 3 days before. I said, bah, it's really strange, because I had this vision that the Lord gave me. I didn't mention the angels or anything, but I said, and I thought it was time to really birth that, but now he spoke to me on the way here that I have to go home and start the process of closing down the church that I have, which I really love, and go to a different church. He has an assignment for me. He said, well, tell me about that church. So I tell him a little bit about that church. He goes, oh, is that so-and-so's church? I said, well, yeah. He goes, oh, I'm his spiritual dad. I sent him to plant that church 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I had faith. I had faith. Then I couldn't wait to get home. Because it's like, all of a sudden what I didn't want to do, mainly because I didn't have faith, but the thing is, it now became, it's like, this is an adventure. This is the Holy Spirit. And he's not even going to tell me what I'm supposed to do until I get there. But the point is that, wow, this has got to be the Lord. Because what I have is, it's like the elders that come before the Lord in Revelation. They're crowns. What are the crowns? The crowns are what you have accomplished on earth. Right? Not by good works, but by works of grace. That's an oxymoron that I made up. You know, in other words, when you walk with the Lord and do things in grace, then you are laying up treasures in heaven, and that's what your crown is made up of. And that's what you lay at his feet in worship in eternity. Not everybody's going to have a crown, because some Christians got saved and fell asleep the rest of their life. But if you have a crown, when you go in to worship the Lord, you lay them at his feet. The interesting thing about the crowns, they're eternal crowns. So even though you lay them at his feet, the next time you go into worship, they're still there on your head. You get to take them off again and put them at his feet, you know. And I know that's symbolic, but the point is that we want crowns. So here, you know, I have things that I've done for the Lord, and the church was one of them. But now I'm laying them down at his feet now to go on to something else that he's called me to. And now I can't wait. It was interesting when I came back home and I took the pastor out. Like I said, I was friends with him. And I took him and his assistant pastor out to lunch. And so we sit down, and the assistant pastor had a friend who had just come back from Argentina. And he got this prophecy over him from Cindy Jacobs and all this kind of stuff. And he was a pastor over in Seattle. He's going on and on and on about it. And I asked him a question. I said, I was there. No, this was in Argentina. I said, well, yeah, I was there. And no, this is just a small group of people at this particular meeting. He thought it was just a few. And I said, yeah, I was in there. I was there. What? What are you talking about? He said, he's all excited about it because his friend had called him and tell him about those prophetic things that happened to him. And I said, oh, I was there. He couldn't believe me. But then he's like, all right, I want to hear more. So, I shared with them, you know, what my vision, what the Lord had given me, and how, you know, on the way down, the Lord speaks to me. And he says, you know, when you come back, you start, you know, talk to your folks and talk to your leaders. And you're going to go down to this other church. And I saw the look on my friend's face, and I could interpret it. Sheep thief. That was sheep thief. He's like, Lord, I know. Well, it's natural for a shepherd to care for the flock. But then when I said, and you know, I just told the Lord, you know, I needed to have faith because anything done in sin, I mean, outside of faith is sin. And so on the third day, I'm talking to this gentleman, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, he's from Alaska. And then he started, Alaska? And I said, yeah, and I told him who it was. He goes, oh, you met him? You know, and I'm like, yeah, that's our spiritual dad. I said, I know. That's when I got faith. And they're like, and you know, what they said was like kind of like Gamaliel. Well, we don't understand, but it must be the Lord. And actually what happened was, you know, it took time. We put everything, you know, closed everything down, prayed blessings on everybody. Some of the folks went with me to that church. Some went other places. But the point is, the first official day I was there was when the Lord gave me the word for the pastor on what was to happen. And that really did some tremendous things that happened. But again, I bring that up because of the point of, it takes a little maturity. The more clear you hear, you have to grow into that, because without faith, it's sin. Even though it could be the word of the Lord, but if you step out prematurely or presumptuously, you could actually have the word but still flop. And I say, you know, you can have a true word and it can become, in effect, a false word by either applying it to the wrong person, applying it to the wrong time, giving it only in part, or not, or giving it when you were supposed to keep it. In other words, God shares his secrets with his servants, the prophets, and now he's asking, what do you do with the secret? And then some people say, I'm not going to ask you that because I'm going to tell you the answer. Some people say, well, you tell it. And some people say, well, you keep it. And the answer is both. As Jesus said, don't tell anybody this. And then later he said, the things which I whispered in your ear, now shout it from the housetop. So we have to be able to hear and then go back to the Lord, say, okay, thanks for the secret. Do I tell it or do I keep it? Most of the time it's you pray it. You keep it and you just pray it back so it can be released on the earth. Okay? All right. Here's something I have come to believe. I don't know, but I think this is something that is one of the attributes that we should expect from apostolic ministry. And that as the church becomes an apostolic church, this is something we should expect from Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, they were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John. And they took note that they were unlearned and, I like to say, ignorant. So you know I'm ignorant also. Point is, they were unlearned and ignorant. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. And this is just something I think that we need and we should expect. If we're going to have true apostolic ministry, it should be somebody that's been with Jesus. And when we have an apostolic church, people should say that about the church. Well, they're different. But there's something about them. I know they've been hanging out with Jesus. You see, the non-believer took note that they'd been with Jesus. Now, isn't that important? But isn't that encouraging? And that's something I think we should expect. You know, sometimes you have not because you ask not. We should expect to be asked to come sit at Jesus' feet. And the Holy Spirit, the nice thing about the Holy Spirit, or you can call him Holy Spirit if you want. Point is, his job is to speak to you about Jesus and to draw you to his whole purpose is to bring you closer to Jesus. And he does his job pretty well if we'll let him. You see what I'm saying? And so we want to hear from God and we want to walk by the Spirit, first and foremost for our own selves, so that we're not doing the works of the flesh. So that we're doing something else besides that. You know, we're not being diverted. We're not, oh, I'm so bored, I'll just do this or do that, and sometimes it leads to something that's not so great, right? But rather, walking by the Spirit is so much more fun than the news or whatever, you name it, right? Now, there's time when the Lord will take you to here to a movie or something like that. And we did our first Apostolic Prophetic Conference up there in Missoula years ago. And we had a prophetess come to our group, our FlintNet group, after that. And she said, I have a word for you guys. And so I let her have the floor. She wasn't really expecting that, but it was great. Everybody got to hear the word. But basically she said, you have laid an apostolic prophetic foundation in Montana that has never been laid before. Now, at the time, I didn't even know there had been other apostolic movements that had come into the state. But evidently, we laid an apostolic prophetic foundation that had never been laid before. And she says, you have established a beachhead where the Lord can branch out from. And that was her word, that we had established an apostolic prophetic beachhead. Well, I thought that was neat. You know, I just thought, you know, that's figurative. You know, we're pretty new. We just started. You know, that was our first conference. And I'm certainly learning. I had no clue about 90% of what we were doing. And so I thought that was cool. Shortly after that, I was talking to a friend who's a pastor on the East Coast in New England, and I mentioned this prophetic word that she had about us being a beachhead. And he says, well, I was in the Marines, you know. You realize that a beachhead is only established for a short time. I said, no. He goes, yeah, a beachhead is where you take some ground and then you begin to land all the equipment and all the troops. But you can't remain a beachhead for long. You have to become a staging area, right? Because if you just remain a beachhead, you're going to get pushed back into the sea. And I'm like, well, that's cool. But I'm thinking, you know, we're new, we're small, we're, you know, there's no way we could become a staging area, is in my mind, okay? Well, shortly after this, I had a trip to India coming up. But before that, our family went on a vacation. And part of it, we were back east going to, I don't remember where. I think we were taking the kids to amusement park, Busch Garden or something. We're driving down the highway, and I think I was in the back seat taking a nap or something. We're driving down the highway, and I think if I remember, my wife said, "Oh, there's a sign for a battlefield. Don't tell Lloyd." Something like that. But anyway, so I woke up. Fredericksburg National Battlefield. We got to stop there, you know. So we pull in, and we had another car of family behind us, so we all pull into Fredericksburg National Battlefield. So this is from the Civil War. So we pull into the parking lot, and we get out, and they're just starting a tour, and there's a ranger guy standing. They have a big wooden map of the, you know, the battlefield, basically. The town was over here. The Rappahannock River is here. And the Army of the Potomac came up on this side. And normally in those days, you know, you would avoid cities. You want to fight out in the fields and so on. But this was the only place that where you had a good crossing across this particular river for like 20 miles. So they had to cross there, even though there was a town there. So, in other words, we just walk into this, and this is what the guy's saying. He says, but what happened was they came to this crossing, and they started to build their pontoon bridge, but because there was a city right there, the Confederates came and they put their snipers up in the bell towers and the high buildings, and they would shoot at the engineers that were trying to build the bridge. And the engineers don't like being shot out because that's not their job. They're not infantry. So they're like, "We're not building the bridge, so you take care of those guys shooting at us." So they decided, what can we do? They took some of the boats and they went upstream and they crossed up here and they came down and they cleared out the town of all the snipers and they established a beachhead. And here's what the ranger says. And so this was the first time in military history that they came up with the concept of a beachhead.
Wow.
And I looked at my wife, she looks at me, and we just came from a prophetic word that we established a beachhead for the first time, and now we come to this place where the first time in military history a beachhead has been established. I'm going, wow, this is cool, this is the Lord. And there's something else that happened at that moment, I'll tell you in a minute. But we went, this is cool. But then he goes, but they made a mistake. He says, they put the pontoon bridge across, but instead of crossing and becoming a staging area, they stayed on this side waiting for reinforcements. And while they waited, 3 days later, Robert E. Lee came in with his cannons. And even though he had fewer people, he took the high ground. And then when they tried to cross, he just slaughtered them. And that's where he made the famous quote of, "It's good that war is so terrible. It's good that war is hell, or we would learn to love it." Because he was beating them so bad, where they had, all they had to do was cross everybody over there in camp, even, it would have been fine. But they, see, so they came up with the first concept ever of a beachhead, but they hadn't learned you got to go forward. Okay, so then I'm like, wow, this is cool. Well, what happened was, as soon as we walked up there, in my ear, the Holy Spirit whispered, and this was kind of different, because it was like he whispered it once, and it echoed for weeks. Now, it wasn't a bad thing. It didn't echo and drive me nuts, but it was always there. What he said when I walked up there was, "Nathan Bedford Forrest." And I thought to myself, Nathan Bedford Forrest, he wasn't at Fredericksburg. I know he was a Confederate general. But anyway, but because we were doing vacation stuff, and then I left straight after that for India. So I was in India, so I didn't have time to look up Nathan Bedford Forrest. It was probably before the internet. I don't know. But it wasn't before the Civil War, though. It wasn't that far back. I'm not quite that old. But anyway, well, I get back. Okay, I get back. And I'm not even back a day, and the family wants to go see this movie, Saving Private Ryan. I said, everybody wants to go see this movie. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. I'm tired. So we're going to go see Saving Private Ryan. I thought, good, I'll sleep. I'll get in the movie, and I'll sleep. So we walk, we get into the movie, and it's already started. We're a little bit late, so we get in there. They've already run the credits, and we sit down. And here they are in those duck boats, you know, and they're being shot at and everything. And then there's Tom Hanks. And I go, oh, Forrest Gump. In my mind, I go, Forrest Gump. But as my mind says Forrest Gump, the Holy Spirit overlays over it, Nathan Bedford Forrest Gump. That was his full name. He was named after the general. Then I got my attention. Now I'm not sleepy. I'm like, whoa! And then they show what this is. This is D-Day. This is the largest beachhead in history. So we go from the prophetic word to the place, the actual place of the first beachhead in history. Now I'm connected to that with the word Nathan Bedford Forrest. with the largest beachhead in history. And like I said, I'm wide awake now. So, well, through that, the Lord taught, and there were things apostolic. He taught me about Nathan Bedford Forrest, his life, and so on, and things that happened. But I'm just sharing that, how he built piece by piece by piece. And what that did, it showed me that, look, we may have been small, and we may have been tiny. We may not have had much, but we could not remain a beachhead. We had to be a staging area. I had to be laying hands on people and sending them out. And, you know, years later, when I told you that story that where we went before the city council and all that stuff, and we stood up against what they were doing. And one thing that the devil hates to do is he hates to reveal his plans. So if nothing else happens from you standing up against him, that his plans become known. That's one thing that Donald Trump did. He forced them to share their plans with the world, their plans for one world government. They don't want everybody to know that. But it's revealed. If we want to pay attention, it's out there. Now, what are we going to do about it? Okay, so in this situation, I took action on it. We did what we could. And it was interesting when that happened years later, when they did reveal their plans because of the pushback. They put it on the front page of our paper. It says, this was intended to be a beachhead for us to bring this here and then take it to the other cities and then take it to the nation. Well, what I learned from that was if they wanted to come and establish a beachhead, we had taken the high ground. You see, it was in the spirit, but the Lord let me know that even though he let me know we needed to do something. We couldn't stay a beachhead, and we needed to push forward. So even though we were a small group, we pushed forward, and we made changes in the spirit, which later the enemy of our God published that we actually had the high ground. They now are trying to establish a beachhead in our city. Wow, isn't that cool? So we do need to walk with the Lord. We need to step out with him. And this is what he told me to do, but I didn't really get to some of the stories in the Bible I was going to share. But you don't mind, do you? Because I'm just sharing what I feel like he's saying to share. Look, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. His commandments are pretty simple, you know. Love God, love your neighbor, okay? Sum it all up. But he'll give you commandments. Like he'll say, you need a new house. I'm like, okay, that's nice. And like my wife said, where does the money come from? So you got a commandment now, what are you going to do with it? How about come, you know, like if you're in the boat. That's a commandment. That's a specific commandment to you. That's really cool. When you start hearing his words to you personally, well, how are you going to know? Especially when you're learning to begin with, how are you going to know it's him? Well, you're going to try it. Now, if it's really far out there, you could get it. It's not unbelief to get advice. It's not unbelief to get input, like it was in my case. It wasn't unbelief to keep praying into it until I had the next step. But you see how he wants us to succeed. And so some of my stories are just to share with you how he wanted me to succeed, so he helped me grow in faith so I could achieve what it was he was commanding, right? And those are crowns. Those are pieces of our crown. When we accomplish something by grace, that's why I coined the term works of grace, which is different than good works. Because good works, there are philanthropists that don't have the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And you don't get rewarded in heaven for being a philanthropist, even though we like them here on earth. But in James chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promises to those who love him. So when we read that, we say, endures temptation. I'm giving you a whole different example of what enduring temptation is. Instead of sitting there going, oh, I'm being tempted, I don't want to do it, I don't want to. A way to endure temptation is to say, I'm going to walk by the Spirit. And then you get, how cool is it you get rewarded for doing that? Not just now, but also then you get a crown. So we should encourage one another. Number one, spend time with Jesus. So that to the point that people notice you've been with him. Does that make sense? And do your best to keep his commandments to you. Do your best to, you know, and you know where it starts? Like I said, pure heart, clean hands. Get your heart clean, read the Bible. With me, it started reading the red. And then he spoke to me through the, well, I repeated the red, and then he had to help me because somebody had come with a opposite, false evidence appearing real, right? And it gave me the opportunity to say either believe the false evidence or believe the scripture. And when I made the choice to believe the scriptures when he spoke, that's the first time I ever heard him speak, and that was the start. Because it's like priming the pump. Once it starts, now you can turn off the pump. I mean, you can, or put it this way, you can refuse to pump the pump, right? But if it starts, if it's been primed, now you have the option to where it's like, oh, I just can't wait for the next one. Now we have to obey the one to go to the other. You understand that. But I'm just saying that the excitement and the hunger that can be there, and it can be hunger that can be fulfilled. It's not like a desire that will never be fulfilled, because I had a desire, but they told me God doesn't do that anymore. So I was like disappointed about that. You know? But I learned, now I know it was the Holy Spirit, because my heart was such that he was willing to draw me in and supersede my teachers. And he'll do that with us, with all of us, with you, with me. And so I'm gonna close here. And I want to bless you. I haven't felt like I've had enough time this weekend. You know, I haven't been able to do everything I wanted to do, but I'm trusting that I was able to do everything the Lord wanted done. Sometimes his ways are different than mine, and maybe yours too. But if we'll obey, in time we'll see the fruit. You see? You can do your own things, and there may be fruit. It may not be spiritual fruit. It could be good. There's a tree of good and evil. But we want the tree of life, who's Jesus, right? And so that's what I would like to impart today. And I hope these testimonies are for you. Again, I want to reiterate. I used to, some of these stories was decades before I would share them with anyone, because I just didn't want anybody to think that I'm somehow promoting me, you know. And like I said, there's biblical evidence that Paul didn't speak a lot about his own miracles, but about his sufferings. Okay, I've mentioned that. But really, all right, I'll share one more story. Because I learned this from Bill Johnson. He was back east where I was with a group that I'm part of, and he was sharing with us a couple different years in a row. And one of the things he shared was you have to give testimonies, because when you give a testimony, the same blessing or authority from God, the anointing from God that was there that brought that original activity to pass, can be there again for someone else to step into it. And then all of a sudden I thought, whoa, it would be selfish not to share some of the works of God that he has done. You see, so it gave me a different perspective. But you understand my intentions always were not to be selfish right from the start. And so maybe some people will misinterpret my meaning or my purpose, but that may happen. You know, Jesus was perfect and they found something to complain about. I'm only partially perfect. But anyway, so he says that. So I learned that from him. Anyway. And there was a number of times I got to share with him and sit with him and talk with him and stuff. But there was one time, and I don't remember which time it was he was back there, but it was like, it must have been the last day he was there or something. Anyway, he said something, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, kind of like he did that day when he said, get up there and share about the, you know, Proverbs chapter 30, you know, 33. And I'm like, what? He says, share with Bill, you know, something. I forget what it was now, but it will bless him. Well, I didn't get to share it with him. I don't think he shared that with me now, at that moment. Honestly, I think I was on the plane on my way home when the Lord said, you need to share this with Bill because it will bless him. Because anyway, the reason was I was on the plane going home and I said, well, how am I going to share it with Bill? You know, I'm on my way home and he's going to California. He says, share it with him when you see him in Reno. And I'm like, I've never been to Reno in my life, you know. And I thought, wow. I looked at my schedule and I was like, wow, I'm going to be in Reno in a month. It'll be the first time I've ever been there, but I was going to be there in Reno with a ministry that I was part of that actually works with the Safari Club International, which is the largest hunting organization in the world. And people come from all over the world for their once a year symposium, whatever, you know, fair. And we do the prayer table. Our group from Missoula, we do the prayer table there, and we have a prayer breakfast. Okay, and then people always get saved every year at that prayer breakfast. You know, We have different speakers and so on. So I was going to be there, and it was my first time in Reno, because they bounced it back and forth from Reno to Las Vegas, and this year it was in Reno, and that was the first time. And he says, share it with him when you see him in Reno. Okay. So I had told a couple friends of mine, hey, be praying, because I'm going to Reno, and the Lord says I'm going to meet Bill Johnson. I got to give him this word. Okay, cool. So I'm there, and I'm not even there for an hour. I'm at the table. And Dave McClellan, a friend of mine from Boise, calls me up. He's like, hey, Lloyd, I've been praying for you. Have you given that word to Bill yet? He's got faith. I said, no, I haven't seen him yet. I said, oh, I got to call you back. Here he comes. Just like that was great. It's on the phone with Dave. And here comes Bill and his brother Bob. And they come walking over. And I said, hey, Bill. And I called him. I don't know if he remembered me. I think he did. But the point was, I said, hey, I was just back there, back east when you were back there. And I said, and you shared this. And I don't remember what I was. I wish I had. It might be in my journal, but I don't remember it right now. But I said, you shared this, and the Lord's asked me to share this with you. And he's really pretty, I don't know how to describe it, but he's like, oh, cool, thank you. You know, it's no real emotion. But his brother was like, his eyes were this big. And it was interesting because his brother ended up coming to Missoula the next two summers, and so we get to minister together, so that was where I met him. But see, one thing, the Lord said it, and it happened. But I thought to share that because Bill was the one that shared with me, not personally, but I mean to us, you need to share testimonies because that anointing then is there for others. So by sharing these things with you, it's not to say anything about me, but to bring an anointing here that you can say, well, he's unlearned and ignorant. If you can do with him, Lord, you can do with me because I'm a lot smarter than he is. So whatever you want to say to the Lord, I don't mind. But the point is this. Step into some of these things and let the Lord do with you, because he'll work with you differently than he will with me. But I hope by sharing these things, it brings a little bit of Jesus in here, maybe in a way that you could say, maybe something touched you that you say, wow, that was him working in my heart. Or maybe I want him to work with me that way, so Lord, do it. I'm going to pray that. All right? So Lord, I just pray that these testimonies, they're true for sure, but I hope I communicated them in such a way that they will be a blessing and that they'll stick to our spirits, so to speak, and that they hopefully built faith, because it does take faith to step out in the obedience of what you want to do. So I pray, Lord, for the anointing that was upon each one of these testimonies, that anointing is here for anyone that wants to grab it. If there was one of these stories that stuck out to you, grab the anointing that was with that story for you. If they all spoke to you, whatever. By the limit of your own faith, take hold of these things, because my job, I think, is to just help people reach further than I did. And so by sharing these things, you get a jump start on what I had to learn the hard way. And I always say, experience isn't the best teacher. Someone else's experience is the best teacher. Because you could experience a rattlesnake and it might not work out so well. We should learn from one another, and I want to bless you. You guys are already at a higher level walking with the Lord probably than I was years ago, when there's nobody to teach. Like in the days of Samuel, the word of God was rare. Well, it's not rare now, but we still need guidance. We still need direction. And you are so blessed to have a company of believers here that won't think you're crazy if you bring a word and say, I'm not sure, but I think the Lord is saying this, and help you with that. And, and let's face it, sometimes it's you. So don't be afraid to say, it's much better to say, I feel like the Lord's saying this, than to say, God told me. Because if God told you, that's the end of the conversation right there, okay? I can say, well, I don't think that was God, but if God told you, then I'm not going to get it between you and God, and you're going to find out the hard way that wasn't God, that was a pillar for you to run into. Anyway, I'm not new to this game.
Thank you for joining us for this teaching from the Fellow Laborers International Network.